The House, please come back to order. Representative Stubson.
Mr. Speaker, having voted on the prevailing side of Senate File 20, I'm giving my notice of intent to ask for reconsideration of the third reading vote at the end of third reading today.
Okay, the actual motion will be made at the end of third reading. And before we continue with third reading, we are going to bring up House Bill 1, the budget bill, and move that bill along. We're at that order of business of consideration of Joint Conference Committee reports. The first report for our consideration is Joint Conference Committee Report Number 1 on House Bill 1. Chairman Berger.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move Joint Conference Number 1 to House Bill 1 and ask for your favorable aye. Ladies and gentlemen, I think you should have a packet on your desk of the changes in the amendments. It's similar to what you've seen over the last week. I'll just give you a minute or so to get organized. I want to just pause for just a second.
The House will stand at ease for a few minutes. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to read in some messages from the Senate right now.
Message number 219, Mr. Speaker, the bill, Senate did concur on House amendments to the bills listed below by the vote indicated. Senate file 57, telephone solicitation, cell phone, ayes 28, noes 2, signed Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 220, Mr. Speaker, the bills listed below did pass the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill 20, criminal street gangs, ayes 27, noes 3, signed Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 221, Mr. Speaker, the bills listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill 34, referendum on adopted ordinance petitions, ayes 30, noes 0, signed Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 222, Mr. Speaker, the bills listed below pass the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill 59, Workforce Service Amendments, ayes 28, noes 2, signed Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 223, concurrence requested, Mr. Speaker. House Bill 64, Mandatory Minimum Sentence for Sexual Abuse of a Minor. The House bill listed above passed on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. Ayes 20, noes 10, the Senate respectfully asks the House to concur by adopting the listed amendments. Ayes, Diana Williams. signed Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 224, Mr. Speaker. The bills listed below pass the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill 75, Loss of Parental Rights, Homicide Spouse, Ayes 29, Noes 1. Signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 225, Mr. Speaker. The bills listed below pass the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill 77, Youth Archery Licenses, Ayes 30, Noes 0. Signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 226, Mr. Speaker. House Bill 79, Eminent Domain Wind Power Collector Lines. The bill, House bill listed above, passed on third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 30, noes 0. The Senate respectfully asks the House to concur by adoption of the listed amendments. Signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 227, Mr. Speaker, the bills listed below pass the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill 80, Peace Officers, Detention Officers, and Dispatchers, Ayes 30, Noes 0. Signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 231, Mr. Speaker, House Bill 97, Nuclear Energy Production Study. The House bill listed above passed on third reading in amended form by the vote indicated. Ayes 27, noes 3. The Senate respectfully asks the House to concur by adopting the listed amendments. Signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Mr. Speaker, message number 230, House Bill 95, Wyoming Firearms Freedom Act. The House bill listed above passed on a third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. Ayes 30, noes 0. The Senate respectfully asks the House to concur by adopting the listed amendments. Signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 229, Mr. Speaker, House Bill 94, Real Property Easements. The House bill listed above passed on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. Ayes 30, noes 0. The Senate respectfully asks the House to concur by adopting the listed amendments. Signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 228. Mr. Speaker, House Bill 83, Crimes and Offenses, Restrictions for Adult Sex Offenders. The House bill above listed passed on third reading in amended form by the vote indicated. Ayes 27, noes 3. The Senate respectfully asks the House to concur by adopting the listed amendment. Signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 233, Mr. Speaker, House Bill 122, Disposal of Livestock. The House bill listed above passed on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. Ayes 28, noes 2. The Senate respectfully asks the House to concur by adopting the listed amendments. Signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 232, Mr. Speaker. House Bill 111, Electric Transmission, Consideration of Regional Issues. The House bill listed above passed on third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 25, noes 5. The Senate respectfully asks the House to concur by adopting listed amendments. Signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 234. Mr. Speaker, the bills listed below pass the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill 132, Homicide During Pregnancy. Ayes 21, noes 9. Signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 235. Mr. Speaker, Senate File 18, Limited Liability Companies Revisions. Senate failed to concur on the House amendments to the bills listed above by the vote indicated. Ayes 4, noes 26. Senate requests the House to appoint a conference committee number 1 to meet with a like committee from the Senate to report on recommended amendments to the bill for final consideration by both houses. Signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 236, Mr. Speaker, House Joint Resolution 9, Resolution to Amend the United States Constitution. The House bill listed above passed on third reading in amended form by the vote indicated. Ayes 30, noes 0. The Senate respectfully asks the House to concur by adopting listed amendments. Signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 237, Mr. Speaker, conferees appointed. The President appointed Senate conferees to meet with a like committee number 1 dealing with Senate File 18. Senator Case, Chairman, Senator Hastert, Senator Scott. Signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 238, Mr. Speaker, House Bill 15, Electrical Safety and Fire Prevention Revisions. The House bill listed above passed on a third reading in amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 30, no 0. The Senate respectfully asks the House to concur by adopting listed amendments. Signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 239. Mr. Speaker, the Senate did concur on House amendments to the bills listed below by the vote indicated. Senate file 27, government competition. Ayes 25, noes 5. Signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 240. Mr. Speaker, House Senate file 75, school district health insurance. The Senate failed to concur on the House amendments to the bills listed above by the vote indicated. Ayes 1, noes 29. The Senate requests the House appoint a conference committee number 1 to meet with a like committee from the Senate to report recommended amendments to the bill for final consideration by both houses. Signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Mr. Speaker, Senate House Bill 18, Aquatic Invasive Species. The House bill listed above passed on third reading in amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 26, noes 4. The Senate respectfully asks the House to concur by adopting listed amendments. Signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 242. Mr. Speaker, conferees appointed. The President appointed Senate conferees to meet with the like committee number 1 on Senate file 75. The conferees are Senator Nicholas, Chairman, Senator Townsend, Senator Martin. Signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 243. Mr. Speaker, the bills listed below pass the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill 19, Mandatory Savings for Inmates, ayes 21, noes 9. Signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 244. Mr. Speaker, the Senate did concur on House amendments to bills listed below by the vote indicated. Senate File 34, Continuation of Insurance Coverage, ayes 30, no 0. Signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 245. Mr. Speaker, the bills listed below failed to pass the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill 36, Notaries, ayes 14, no 16. Signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk.
Thank you, Mr. Reading Clerk. Representative Zwanitzer.
Thank you. Can I have the privilege of the floor?
Sure. Please proceed.
Members of the 60th in the South Gallery, I'd like to introduce you to one of my most favorite Boy State kids throughout the years. His father ran for this body, I think, 3 times and never quite made it, but hopefully he'll follow in those footsteps after he gets done being a military officer. If you'd please welcome Reed Barrett in the South Gallery.
Chairman Childers, you may have privilege.
Well, Mr. Speaker, I'd like to make an announcement about a tour. That's T-O-U-R. Come on, guys. Come on. Anyway, the State Archives would like to invite everybody to a tour of the State Archives facilities. And it's all over at the Barrett Building. They'll have staff available for the tours on Wednesday, March 3rd, 4 to 6, and Thursday, March 4th, from 4 to 6. They'll start in the research room on the first floor of the Barrett Building, and the main entrance is a half a block southeast of the Capitol Building facing Central Avenue, and they'll provide a van to transport people from the Barrett Building to the warehouse, or you may drive using a map that they'll have available at the Barrett Building. And of course, State Archives is responsible for receiving, managing, and providing public access for the state's public records. And it also houses and preserves historical records, including an extensive collection of historical photographs. So if you can make the tour, they would appreciate it.
Thank you. Conference Committee on Senate File 18, the LLC bill, as Representative Brown chair, Representative Stubson, and Representative Illaway. And Representative Illaway, would you check with me on that? And the Conference Committee on Senate File
on the floor.
Correction on the conference committee on Senate File 18. Instead of Representative Illaway, Representative Lubnow. The conference committee on Senate File 75 is Representative Harshman, Chairman, Representative Jorgensen, and Representative Hammonds. I would like to take privilege of the floor. When you thought you had met all of them, there are more. And my cousin Pete Simpson Jr. is here with his wife Nama. He is Millard's younger brother, the youngest of Pete and Lynn Simpson's children. And Pete and Nama are here. Pete is a member of the Blue Man Group from New York, but he is not in blue face tonight or today, so he won't perform for us. But he is a guest professor and guest artist at the University of Wyoming for the next couple months, and Nama is putting together and organizing and creating all of the costumes for a Hamlet production in April at the university. So Pete Simpson Jr. and his wife Nama. Give us a line from Hamlet, Pete. To be or not to be, that is the question. That'll be great. Thanks, Pete. Chairman Berger.
Well, Mr. Speaker, we're back in the saddle again here. I had a long cheat sheet that I thought I wanted you to have, and it will come out after a little bit, but I think it's important that we get on this budget and get it downstairs so that you can all go home by next week sometime. Anyway, I thought what would be really important for you to have is you have your packet of amendments. Hopefully you have your cheat sheet from the other day, which were the changes. And then I think it's important because, you know, we did make changes to local government in this process. And I did give you a handout earlier this morning on that distribution and those amounts that I think were important. And then we'll talk a little bit about the changes on capital school construction. And I think just to set the stage for what it is we're going to be working through on these amendments is that this, of course, was a conference between the House and the Senate in making a compromise or taking one or the other's amendments to come up with the final budget and for us to concur on that, and that's what you're going to be doing with me, hopefully. And just to give you an overview of the issues that we had to address in conference, that was the developmental disability funding, where, and I'm just going to give you this overview, where we had passed an amendment for $4.1 million. The compromise that we made, which will be in this amendment that I'll give to you, was that we kept $1.5 million additional funding in the budget. The next piece was on epilepsy. If you remember that funding coming from the tobacco fund, the House amendment was for $85,000. There was a compromise at $42,500. And then when we finally negotiated with the Senate, we put back, we reduced that to 27.5, giving 15,000 to the children who are blind for summer camp from our good representatives from Natrona County. And then on School Capcom, the decision that we made was to continue on the list that was provided to us by School Facilities Commission, the next two schools on the list. We had funded for all four schools remaining on that list, and the two schools that were one and two were Sheridan County 1, Meadowlark, and Park County 1 Elementary School. And then I have language here that I'll just read to you because you'll find it in your amendments that we had taken from the Senate side addressing school facilities commissions and capital construction and how the unencumbered funds or the reversion funds would work when they finished projects on capital construction and how that would fund the remaining schools that were on the priority list. And then if you remember when we went through the planning, the phases, the implementation, and moving forward, so that these schools, now that they're on a priority list, would know that they were next in line for the funding. So it wasn't taking somebody off of a list. They'll just flow right into that process, I hope. And I think that that's probably an editorial note here, but that on all of the School Facility Commission amendments that we have adopted between the House and the Senate as to the reorganization of utilizing the School Facilities Commission and that process. And if you remember that the director will be under the pleasure of the governor, and that we have also concurred on language working on the continuing the audit of the School Facilities Commission. So we will just pick up for where we left off last year with those audits and hope that we can get some more numbers that we're more confident in as we continue with the Capital School Con on that. And then the next thing was on local government. Of course, the compromise that we made, the House passed an amendment for $10 million, and the Senate did not have any additional funding for local government, and we compromised on $6.5 million additional, which will give you this breakdown here of the 87.5 and how that's distributed. And then we also went back to the JAC position on the distribution between cities and counties. That was traditional for the last 5 years, the average that we had used there. Then we also had the pediatrics amendment in there to work with Medicaid on reimbursements for our infants in particular that go south for some emergency treatment. We, on the Senate side, they had worked on the retirement system funding where we, if you remember, we had the $48 million that was parked in the auditor's office, and they had reduced that amount by $12 million due to the Senate file. I am forgetting the number, but I think it was 72 on the retirement system, that adjustment, which went back into the general fund. Then we had the purchase of the liquor warehouse, which we came to an agreement on, that both houses took off the language that had a requirement for payback, and we went with the Senate's position on taking the money out of the budget reserve account. So we have kept the capital complex account intact at about $35 million there. That should make someone from Cheyenne very happy. And on the House, if you remember, we had the debate on the sex offender amendment that dealt with reinstituting some funding for that program that had been taken out based on the 10% cut earlier this summer. That was at $200,000. That was a Senate amendment that we approved. So those were the key issues that we had to work through in conference. And the goal was to get to a balanced budget. And if you take out your golden rods, if you have those today, the other fact there would be if you took a date like March 2nd and you compare that to today, March 3, if that is today, you would notice that in about midway down on your expenditures on March 2nd, you would show the 9-10 budget, and then you would show the 11-12 projections on Craig's status, the House status, and then the Senate status, and you see that the large difference there between the $4 million plus on the House side and the Senate at 31. And today, when you look at the March 3 goldenrod. On the same line, you will note that the House and the Senate and the Joint Conference Committee all are reconciled at the $32 million, and that we have a balanced budget. So that was the result of that work. And you can follow these are the two comparatives that I think are good for you to look at going through on each page of your goldenrod to see where the changes that we made in the conference committee affect it for you. I also have that cheat sheet, which will be sent out to you later this afternoon once it's printed, that shows more verbiage on all of these changes, but again, just to keep things moving. Certainly, I could entertain a question, but we'll wait for that. So if you want to take your packet of amendments, I guess I'll explain to you on the amendments that were the Joint Conference Committee report.
Excuse me, Madam Chairman. Is this the cheat sheet that you're talking about? It's going to be handed out later. I think we have it.
I guess everyone
Madam
has
Chairman.
It. Well, that was
if
expedient.
You'd like to use it.
I'm not going to use it. I'm going to go ahead and use this packet, but I think for you to do further justification of our changes, you will have more language on here. And what this does for you, this long one, it compares the Senate amendments and the House amendments. And it really does get quite confusing because what we do in joint conference is we amend, we may delete, amend, and further amend to come up with the amendment that you're going to look at in my complete packet. So that's part of it. So it's a little bit of going down the trail to find the real answer. And I will stand for any questions on any of these amendments and try to help you. And certainly my conference committee can help too. All right. So on page one, the top list of House amendments are the ones that we adopted. And then the second components are the ones that were identical or non-identical that we adopted from the Senate side with amendments. And then on page two of the amendments that lists all of the amendments. So you have every amendment on these two pages that were in the House or in the Senate that affected the budget. So on that page two, those amendments are the ones that were either non-identical or identical that we deleted because we took one or other's position and then we amended further to come up with the final result on our compromise. Likewise, with the same on page three at the top, those are the Senate amendments that we deleted and continued with amending. So then and what you would need in front of you if you wanted to track each one of these amendments in is you would need your actual budget. So the first thing that we have is on page 10 of our budget, and I just need one more second. All right. So on that first one, on the House side, when we were dealing with transparency and working on the website portal and all the cross-agency for technology, we had the word ITD for the identifier, and it needed to be out of the CIO's budget. So we just made that adjustment in conference. And that has to do with the following lines there on the implementation of the Wyoming Public Finance website. Then down, if you go down to line page, it says page 27, line 8, that is the epilepsy funding where we deleted it down from the original amount in the House to the tobacco fund. On the next line, page 27, line 10, this is where and it follows with the page 28, line 14, which was the $4.1 million for DD, and this is the language that brings that down to $1.5. on page 3 still down there on where it says 12, page 29 and then 12, that is the more of that same language that goes with the epilepsy. So we have to track all of these things together so we have a little more language than actually the action that took place. Then if you go to page 4, if you remember, we talked about the language on stray versus astray for page 31, line 24 of our budget bill. We made that. That was just a language change. The next one down has to do with state lands preservation accounting, and what we needed to do there was that count had to have effective immediately. The following one, page 37, line 31, is in regard to the EMT retirement account, and again, we had to make certain that that was effective immediately. And then on page 4, where it says page 65, line 15, this is the change in the funding for the capital complex and the budget reserve account in purchasing the liquor warehouse. Both of us worked on the language, which is on page 66, line 1 through 9, deleting the repayment language. So that's that entire section there deals with the liquor warehouse in our language. And then on that little B there, we had to correct some of that language there. There was a, believe it or not, in our consolidation of state information technology program, there was some technical changes that we had to make and also redefine the date as October 1st, 2010 for the report. That's at the bottom of page 4. Continue to page 5. This whole section deals with the dynamic compaction with the AML funding. That all stayed in there, but we had to do some redefinitions of words and terms there in order not to restrict all of the AML funding. And we had better language on the House that we took on that. Then the next page that you have is page 6, and actually that goes... I continue to say that we have more words than numbers in our budget this year. Okay. That goes from page 6 to page 13. This has to deal with all with the School Facilities Commission and the Capital School Con for us, construction for us, and corrections. The first would be a correction. We had an alternative school for Sheridan in there that was at $720,000. That had to be deleted. And we had to make that correction, which is on page 6 of your amendment at the top. If you recall, it was at a $12 million plus in the original language. And so by making that correction, taking that out, we have $11.7 million. So that was our first correction. And then basically the adjustments that we made to the funding on page 8 of new money for the list of school capital construction projects. And the total is additional new money that we added with the compromise between the House and the Senate was $21.9 million. And now you have, hopefully, a clean list, and you show the actual dollars of the $133 million that we approved in conference. I wanted, you can read that in this new language here, but I just wanted to give you comfort, because you all have to go back with an explanation of what we did with School CapCon. And I think it's been a tremendous learning process for all of us as policymakers. And I think some really good things came from this session with this. And when we look at two pieces that are really important, because there was a lot of confusion between encumbering funds and authorization, and I believe our select committee has done some really good work on this whole system, but we made certain when we were presenting this new amendment that we added two pieces that had been in the Senate language. And one of those pieces, I'll just read briefly, was the section shall not prohibit the commission from obligating and otherwise encumbering funds for any project authorized in this section, and that the section prior to obligating and encumbering funds for higher priority projects, if funds are capable of being obligated to the lower priority project in advance of commitment of funds to the higher priority project, provided the obligation of funds does not reduce or otherwise expend any amounts appropriated to the higher priority project, except as provided under subsection whatever. This is important language as we move through this list and we look at future projects. The other piece of information that I think and language that we have in the bill is that notwithstanding, with based on our statutes, any unexpended, unobligated, previously appropriated funds remaining within the school capital construction account as of June 30th, 2010, shall not revert on June 30th, 2010, and any other amounts which would revert to school capital construction account pursuant to the law during 2011-12 fiscal biennium are hereby reappropriated for purposes of this section for the period commencing July 1, 2010 and ending June 30th, 2012. So it gives the School Facilities Commission, it gives this body an opportunity to look at those lists and direct those funds as projects are ready and available to build. So I think that's important. And you'll have that complete language in this amendment.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Can we ask a question?
Chairman, please go ahead, Chairman Elway.
Madam Chair, I commend the Joint Appropriations Committee for their hard work. You all have worked extremely hard over the last year. I do want to ask a question of the good chairman of the JAC on page 12, paragraph K. It always bothers me, Chairman, to read something in here that says the appropriation under this subsection shall be expended by the commission to correct the state's incomplete remediation of the Bighorn Middle and High School facilities. Now, I know we discussed this when we were going through the budget, but how are we making sure that the School Facilities Commission doesn't have a problem when they, I mean, we've spent untold millions of dollars since you and I have been down here, and one of these days, long after I'm out of here, maybe we'll start redoing schools, but there's only going to be so much money, and I hate to see us to correct the state's incomplete remediation. So how do we know that somebody is really watching what's going on and making sure that we're not spending good money after bad?
Chairman Berger.
Thank you, Madam Chairman, and a very good question, and I think that, you know, that we've all had this discussion over the last few days just about the budget process and the time involved in working with JAC. And one of the things that we as JAC members and then others of us had an opportunity was to have several meetings with the SFC staff and various other members going through this and working with the select committee discussing these issues. And basically it came out that this was a mistake that had to be fixed. And in order to move forward on projects, felt it was necessary to put this funding in here. I don't think there's ever any guarantees that it couldn't occur again or that we could come across another situation that we'd have to address like this. This is how the Senate seemed appropriate to work through the language, and I am hopeful that with the amendments that we have brought forward in reorganization and addressing some of these issues, and as we have become better informed, that we can have more surety that this would not happen again. Because I think what's critical is that we have spent a lot of money in building some of the finest schools in America, and I would hope that we could have confidence that we will continue to do that. Thank you.
Chairman Anderson.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Would you explain to me the discrepancy on page 8 with under little I, it's $133 million, and the total comes to $134 million. I need to be able to follow that.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I just wanted to make sure you could count. Actually, the difference is that we only appropriated $133 million, and the amount for the total projects is $134 million. And the compromise was between the House and the Senate, the 21.9. So that's your difference of $1 million. And it was agreed that based on unencumbered or reversions, that additional money would be available. And it's the reason that I gave you that language from the Senate bill in regard to, as the unencumbered funds became available and came back to SFC, that that would flow into these projects that are on this list. So that was something we wanted to be assured of, that if we make that commitment as a legislative body, that that school will get fully funded and will not have the circumstance that we just talked about earlier.
Thank you, Chairman Berger. And I'd like to reiterate what Chairman Berger said earlier. Please feel free to rise and ask any questions that you have as she proceeds through this document. Thank you, Chairman Berger.
Okay. Hopefully you've had an opportunity on page 14 and 15. This is the language that we've worked on both between the House and the Senate and many folks involved in education over the last couple of weeks to try to put together the direction for recalibration. As you know, this summer or this spring, we will start working on the school block grant model, and this is the team that will move forward with that language. Okay. And on page 15, midway down, you will see out-of-state travel and publication restrictions. We had, excuse me one second, I think there's one portion I missed. Sorry about that. Back up on under little c on it, it says page 116, line 20. What we're doing there is we were deleting the House position of the local funding, actually, and putting in, deleting the funding that we had appropriated and putting in the House positions funding on the compromise. So this is the new dollars for that. And that's in the breakout you have on one of those documents that I gave you. Okay, the next section is the out-of-state travel and publication restrictions, and we had that discussion on the House side. Those amendments failed. They passed on the Senate side. And what we found is that we had some testimony from A&I and worked on this some because what we were looking for, we've talked about zero-based budgeting. We've talked about transparency. And also one of the other procedures that we do in JAC is we ask for the 600 series and the 900 series, which is all the contract work and all those various expenses, just to look at where are our dollars being spent that aren't on employees or within an agency or on a project. And that gives us that information. So we're expanding that now. We thought one of the areas where we could maybe get a better handle on our budgets and in these economic downturn times is in out-of-state travel and also on the publications that are being done. Well, when we started the first set of amendments, we looked at it, and it's a bit onerous for our agencies in the reporting. And I gave an example earlier today that on out-of-state of travel, excluding university and community colleges, the document for 1 month on out-of-state travel was 125 pages long that was produced from A&I with our Wolf's accounting system. So what we've done is we want to see this information, and we want A&I and the agencies and our executive branch to work on this. But at the same time, if it becomes so cumbersome that we're really not getting a lot of information with a lot of paperwork, that the governor would be given direction on how to proceed. It may be that he would stop the process. But we have given them direction, they're on alert, and we would like to see more information on how they spend their state dollars. So that has to do with page 15, the language on 16, and it will be the same language that we used for contractual services, which is at the bottom of 17. And then the section 337, which is on page 17, this has to do with we had on the House side, we had the auditing to continue with the School Facilities Commission with an audit, and that got deleted in the process with our conference committee. But we actually went back and refined that, and we're going to have the Department of Audit do that work. And in doing that work, they need to have two additional part-time limited positions and about $70,000 to do that. We just think that there were several good points that were made in those audits, and we want to continue that information. And as we had a little work session yesterday on funding, we think we'll get some more answers that will help us do even a better job with School Facilities Commission. And then that language on the bottom of 338, again, back on state agency contractual services, you go to page 18, and at the bottom, that is the governor may, by executive order, exempt any agency from these requirements. And you can read that language. And that is, ladies and gentlemen, the concurrence amendments from the House and the Senate to finish House Bill 1. Are there any questions? Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I have no questions. I just urge you to vote for Joint Conference Committee Report Number 1 on House Bill 1.
Madam Chair, if you'd indulge a question from the chairman up here, Chairman Berger, I just didn't see where what we did with towns and counties. Did I miss that through our conversation? I apologize.
Madam Chairman, that's on page 15.
Thank you, Chairman Berger. And Chairman Berger, if we could just indulge the chair again, could you move the report one more time for us again?
Madam Chairman, I move Joint Conference Committee Report Number 1 to House Bill 1.
Thank you, Chairman Berger. We are voting on Joint Conference Committee Number 1, Report to House Bill 1. A majority of the elected members is required to adopt the report. The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson, aye. Bagby, aye. Barbuto, aye. Berger, aye. Blake, aye. Blickery, aye. Bonner, aye. Brechtel, aye. Brown, aye. Buchanan, aye. Bird, aye. Kennedy, aye. Carson, aye. Childers, aye. Cohey, aye. Connolly, aye. Kraft, aye. Davison, aye. Dirks, aye. Edmonds, aye. Esquivel, aye. Gilmore, Gingery, Goggles, Hales, Hallinan excused, Hammonds, Harshman, Harvey, Illaway, Yagi, Jorgensen, Kimball, Landon, Lockhart, Lubno, Madden, McKim, McComey, Miller, Millen, Moniz, Patton, Peasley, Peterson excused, Peterson, Filt excused, Korberg, Roscoe, Simlick, Shepperson, Stewart, Stubson, Cheaters, Thompson, Throne, Wallace, Zwanitzer Dan, Zwanitzer Dave. Mr. Speaker, I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed, 57 aye, 3 excused.
By your vote, you have adopted Joint Conference Committee Number 1 to House Bill 1. And my congratulations to the body, to JAC, to the Conference Committee, and to Chairman Berger. Job well done.
Chairman Berger, you may have privilege of the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Thank you. You know, it's really just my honor to serve you, and I just appreciate all of your input. And you all give me confidence in what we do for the people of Wyoming. So thank you for your time also.
Thank you, Chairman Berger, again, for lots of effort that you've put into it in your committee. I know what it's like, and if you haven't been on appropriations, you don't quite realize that you have a long session every year, and the long year you have a longer session. So it's a lot of work, and very much needed and well deserved recognition. It's It's never easy to get to a budget that you can concur on.
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Cohey.
Thank you. Just for your edification, I suspect, what we have done for cities and towns and counties, and not what we've done to them, but what we've done for them, if I could give you a quick calculation, these are biennialized figures. And for those of you that understand, under the cap flow, which is a, you know, a flow that goes to our cities, towns, and counties every year, practically, and it is the guaranteed amount, unless the mineral severance tax flow and the federal mineral royalty flow does not reach the points where the caps are. But here are the figures. For our counties, on a biennial basis, the mineral severance tax flow that goes to our counties in a two-year period is $12 million. CapCon to our counties is $7,200,000. State aid to county roads is $9 million. This budget contains $30,755,557 additional dollars of discretionary flow to our cities, to our counties. That is a total of 50 over a two-year period, $58,955,557. Now, with respect to our cities, the mineral severance tax that our cities see on a biennial basis under the cap is $28,600,000. Federal mineral royalties received on a biennial basis for our cities and towns is $37,200,000. CapCon out of mineral severance tax is $3,600,000. CapCon from federal mineral royalties is $9 million. What you just did in this budget was added for a two-year period, $56,701,003 for a total for our cities and towns over a two-year period, $135,100,003. Calculate the two together, cities and towns and counties, and you can reach almost $200 million. That's been shared well, and you've done it, and I thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairman Cohey, for pointing that out. It's always important to remember that when you go home and be able to explain that. We are back to that order of business of third reading and final passage, Senate File 45.
Senate File 45, introduced by Senator Jennings, an act relating to school buses regarding seat belts, being an act by legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Senate File 45, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Anderson. Bagby. Barbudo. Berger. Blake. Flickery. Bonner. Brechtel. Brown. Buchanan. Byrd. Kennedy. Carson. Childers. Cohey. Connolly. Kraft. Davison. Dirks. Edmonds. Esquivel. Gilmore. Gingery. Goggles. Hales. Hallinan excused. Hammonds. Harshman. Harvey. Illaway. Yagi. Jorgensen. Kimball. Landon. Lockhart. Lubnow. Madden. McKim. McComey. Miller. Millen. Moniz. Patton. Peasley. Peterson excused. Peterson. Filk excused. Korberg. Roscoe. Simlick. Shepperson. Steward. Stubson. Teeters. Thompson. Throne. Wallace. Zwanitzer Dan. Zwanitzer Dave. Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Landon. Aye to no. Gingery. Aye to no. Teeters. No to aye. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 48 aye, 9 no, 3 excused.
Senate File 45, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, Senate File 45 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 48.
Senate File 48, introduced by Senator Johnson, an act relating to professions and occupations, licensure of midwives, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Senate File 48 having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Anderson. Bagby. Barbudo. Berger. Blake. Flickery. Bonner. Brechtel. Brown. Buchanan. Byrd. Kennedy. Carson. Childers. Cohey. Connolly. Kraft. Davison. Dirks. Edmonds. Escobel. Gilmore. Gingery. Goggles. Hales. Hallinan excused. Hammonds. Harshman. Harvey. Illaway. Yagi. Jorgensen. Kimball. Landon. Lockhart. Lubno. Madden. McKim. McComey. Miller. Millen. Moniz. Patton. Patton. Peasley. Pedersen excused. Peterson. Philp excused. Korberg. Roscoe. Semlich. Shepperson. Stewart. Stubson. Teeters. Thompson. Throne. Wallace. Zwanitzer Dan. Zwanitzer Dave. Mr. Speaker, I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 54 aye, 3 no, 3 excused.
Senate File 48 having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, Senate File 48 has passed the House. Chairman Anderson, you may have privilege of the floor.
Legislative body, I'd like to have you welcome the Lurick family. Half the population of Albany is in the gallery. Welcome, Ron and family. Stand up so everybody can see you, all of you.
Welcome to the House of Representatives. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 59.
Senate File 59, introduced by Representative or by Senator Dockstetter, an act relating to workers' compensation, firefighters, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Senate File 59, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Anderson. Aye. Bagby. Aye. Barbudo. Aye. Berger. Aye. Blake. Aye. Flickery. Aye. Bonner. Aye. Brechtel. Aye. Brown. Aye. Buchanan. Aye. Byrd. Aye. Kennedy. Aye. Carson. Aye. Childers. Aye. Cohey. Aye. Connolly. Kraft, Davison, Dirks, Edmonds, Esquivel, Gilmore, Gingery, Goggles, Hales, Hallinan excused, Hammonds, Harshman, Harvey, Illaway, Yagi, Jorgensen, Kimball, Landon, Lockhart, Lubno, Lubno Conflict, Madden, McKim, McComey, Miller, aye. Millen, aye. Moniz, aye. Patton, aye. Peasley, aye. Pedersen excused, Peterson, aye. Philp excused, Korberg, aye. Roscoe, aye. Semlich, aye. Shepperson, aye. Stewart, aye. Stubson, aye. Teeters, aye. Thompson, aye. Throne, aye. Wallace, aye. Zwanitzer Dan, aye. Zwanitzer Dave, aye. Mr. Speaker, aye. I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 56 aye, 3 excused, 1 conflict.
Senate File 48 having received 59, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 59 has passed the House. The next bill for consideration is Senate File 61.
Senate File 61, introduced by Senator Scott, an act relating to health insurance reforms, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Chairman Cohey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 61, and I ask your favorable consideration. You can give a man a basket of fish, or you can teach that same man to fish. One works on the near-term basis, and one works on the far-term basis. A well-intentioned federal Congress over the years in my opinion, has been incredibly successful at one thing. That is stripping the natural tendency of the American family to fend for itself. I believe it literally has taken the survival instincts of many American families and said, we are going to do best for you what you cannot do for yourself. In the desire to provide a hand up to literally millions of Americans, the long-term effect, at least in my opinion, has been a handout that transcends multiple generations. We now see 3 and 4 generations of folks that simply don't know what to do because they watch their parents not know what to do, too. A couple of personal vignettes, if I can share them with you, and, Mr. Speaker, they are relative to the amendment, some real-time, real-life stories, considerations from the real world, that of the private enterprise. You know them. These are small businesses in your community and in mine that create jobs, those that employ people, those that pay taxes that support the costs of our government. We had an individual working for us for about 10 years, 40, 45, 50 hours a week. This lady took a job and pretty good benefits, vacations each year, 401k, insurance paid for the employee, but insurance available for the dependent if they chose to purchase it. This person took a job with the school district, working 17 hours a week, between 17 and 20. Why? Because of policy we made in this room, in this building, that we would provide health care benefits for that particular person and her family. Now, that was up to the district. They pay them almost 100% in my district, and that is why that person did that. What did that do to small and private enterprise? I had an individual working as a laborer in our facility, not making a lot of money, but the person was making 45 to 50 hours a week at about $12 to $13 an hour. Had 2 children and a wife, and one particular day, the individual went to a state agency and asked, what can I get? Other people that I know are getting things, and I'm not. The state agency, truthfully, told him, what you need to do is to quit that job and find one that you don't have to work any more than 20 hours, and you'll get an incredible amount of federal benefit. Guess what happened? Was the natural tendency of that individual to fend for his family stripped from him by the kindness of the federal government, and what is that doing to small and private enterprise? This bill has a component in it requiring work effort. I applaud that. Having worked all my life, as I know most of you, if not all, I question the hours in this bill of effort. What is required is 20 hours of effort. And I question that. I wonder about an employer that only needs a person for 20 hours, but I guess that happens. I know there are people out there that have to work jobs at 20 hours or 25 or maybe less while they're being trained or while they're getting education somewhere, but the numbers expressed in this bill, pretty massive. If the carrot is to achieve a benefit for effort, then consider what is required in the real world. As I understand it from my insurance carrier, that in order for an employee at my company to receive the health benefit that we provide at our cost is to work a minimum of 30 hours, not 20, not 18, not 17 like the school district, but 30. I guess in the thinking of the insurance industry's mind is that 30 hours, that there's going to be just a little bit of consideration on the part of that employee to continue to go back to work and do what it is that most of us do or have done every day. To do that, you must participate in the success of the company, but realistically, thinking about what I believe our federal Congress has done, very good, a very good job of stripping that natural tendency, that particularly your own success as an employee and your sense of well-being to the tune of 30 hours a week or more, and you go home with some sense of pride as opposed to simply saying, I put in my 20 hours and I got a great insurance benefit. Should a state-sponsored benefit, subsidy discussion aside, require a little bit more from that recipient for that particular benefit in order to make him or her feel a little bit more proudly about their effort provided to reap that particular reward? Mr. Speaker, I stand for questions.
Anyone else for the first time? Representative Brown.
Mr. Speaker, on and against the amendment. And ladies and gentlemen, I do have another amendment that would follow this and try to drop it from 30 to 29. I'm going to withdraw that because it doesn't do what I thought it was going to do. What we really need to do is defeat this amendment. So let's look at what we're trying to accomplish here. What we're trying to accomplish is to take people who are not eligible for Medicaid, but who are working, admittedly not 30 hours, they don't have a full-time job, maybe they're resting on the oars, but that's not the intent, to take people that are resting on the oars. It's intent to take a segment of population that's employed, at least to some extent, and get them in a health care program that we think will cost less than Medicaid would cost. You know, their alternative is just quit working and requalify for Medicaid. Then we take the hit on that. So we want them to work. We want them to be in this program and not get back on Medicaid because we think, and I can't guarantee it, but we think that by keeping them off Medicaid and getting them in a wellness program and giving them the incentives for wellness and for preventative services in here, that we can serve this population at a lesser cost than we would with Medicaid. Now, here's my real concern about going to 30 hours. 30 hours is full-time employment, and in a lot of contexts, that includes benefits. And in a lot of contexts, that includes health benefits. Well, if we kick it to 30 hours, you're getting to somebody who's more or less full-time employed, and we're giving the employers, there's dark sides on both sides of this, and we give the employers some incentive now to not extend health care through the employment because there's an alternative state program. And if they don't extend health care, then those workers can qualify for this. And that's not what we're trying to do. We're trying to take people who are in the 20-hour and less than 200% poverty, and we're giving a preference to those people. They're working a little bit. We're also giving a preference, if you look on page 13, priority for enrollment shall be given to, one, individuals who have completed a vocational readiness or work preparation program through the Department of Workforce Services, and two, individuals who've been participants in the Medicaid program or other state assistance program and who've become ineligible. So those are the ones we want in the program. And I don't want to create an incentive where an employer with full-time employees says, well, I see another way to skin this cat. I'll drop the health care coverage. I won't provide it as an employment benefit. And these people are not making a lot of money. They've got to be at 200% or less of the federal poverty level. And I'll just slide them into that program and let the state assume that. I don't want that to happen. I hear the concerns being expressed with the amendment. I'm just telling you there are concerns on the other side. But when you look at the big picture and what we're trying to do, we're trying to take these people, encourage those who have been through workforce training with Workforce Services and who are working to get into the program, get themselves well, get one aspect of their life they don't have to worry about, and see if we can't bring them along. And it's as I said before, it's a culture thing. And there are some things that are going to go wrong, and it's going to have to be fine-tuned. But I just think that the objective is laudable, and I think we ought to try it. So I would urge you to reject this amendment. Stay at 20 hours. Next year with all the reporting that's in here, and certainly the year after, we're going to have a lot of data about what's going on. And as I said, if we're not spending any less money than we would spend through Medicaid, we ought to scrap the program right then. And if we find that we're attracting the wrong segment of the population, then we'll fine-tune the criteria and we'll recalibrate. I think that's the context we've been using. We'll recalibrate this thing to try to select the people we want. But truly, the program, if it works, and if it does what it's intended to do, will encourage these people to get to work, get themselves on a wellness program, and our hope is that with that, they'll become more productive members of society, and they will increase, and they'll move into those jobs that have 30 hours. They'll go off of this program. The employers will keep their employer-provided health insurance, and we'll have these people weaned from the system. I understand the context of what's being said about the generational thing and figuring out how to game the system. What we're trying to do is create a situation here where we wean them off the system and put them up into a fully employed, benefited job that that where we don't have to pay anything. We don't have to worry about them dropping into Medicaid, and we finally get them out of this program. So I'll answer any questions, but I would ask you to resist this amendment.
Representative Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I like to speak in favor of the amendment, and here's the way, where I'm coming from on it, is that to my understanding, this is, in a sense, a pilot program. You know, so, and the benefit of a pilot program is to see if we take this sample of kind of a cross-section here of society and see if we can improve health and save money at the same time. And if we're going to have a pilot program, it's got to be applied to that segment of the population where there's some chance of success if we do extrapolate it. You know, if we talk about people that work from 0 to 20 hours and they're eligible for one reason or another, and 20 hours is okay, you know, to me, the only way this pilot program will show that it's a success is if you have some commitment on the part of the participant. There's got to be some cost sharing. There's got to be some skin in the game. Otherwise, what's the difference? You know, I look at this realistically. There's a slim chance that this is going to be successful in the first place. So why put up two strikes against it from the start by putting people in that really don't have the incentive to participate that much in the workforce anyway. And if we're going to extrapolate it to society, we want to extrapolate it to the people that there's some hope for as far as their cost participation. Thank you.
Representative Connolly.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against the amendment, I'd like to support the comments of my colleague that we share a street corner with in the county across the summit, and to remind the body that this is a very well-researched pilot program where the sponsor of the bill thought about all of the components that could go into an experimental program. And in all honesty, that's what this is. It is an experimental program with well thought out criteria that we can come back and, after evaluating how it worked, determine if those criteria make sense. So that's the first point. My second point is thinking about the actual substance of the amendment, which is to move the criteria to 30 hours from 20 hours. And that makes me think about our economy right now and how difficult it is for people who are unemployed to get work, and the kind of work that's available. The kind of work that's available right now isn't full-time work. It isn't the 30 to 45 hours a week that we associate with full-time work. There are lots of part-time jobs out there. And those are the kinds of folks that we want to be able to include in this pilot program. Not people right now that are getting full-time jobs, but those who have lost their work, who are working hard to get back in to the economy and have done so. Those are the folks that I think that we want covered in this program. So I encourage you to resist this amendment. Thank you.
Chairman Landon.
Mr. Speaker, first off, a couple introductory comments on what the good bringer of the amendment said. I have a lot of sympathy with what he said about some of the federal benefits that are provided for workers and how they provide disincentives for individuals to stay within the private sector. That was one of the things that we looked at and discovered and tried to address a little bit, as many of you may recall, with that child care subsidy bill and lessen some of those cliffs of disincentives. Concerning state benefits and how he has expressed the experience of losing an employee for that, I think that's something we're all aware of and something we all are concerned about. You know, we have studies every year on where we compare the private sector to the government, and we keep changing benefits and wages in on our state side, because we say, well, compared to the private side, is we need to do this, when in fact we want to be able to hire good individuals to deliver the state's goods and services. And the indication of that should be, how long are people staying in the job? What's our rate of turnover? And how many people are applying for the jobs? And I think that in the future, those are the things that we need to be looking for, and not this kind of artificial parity compared to some private things that are supposed to be similar. Well, they aren't similar. That's the private sector works on a whole different principle. So I think we need to be wary of that, because I agree that with the good representatives, I fear that before long we're all going to be wanting to work for the state just because the benefits are so good, and I don't want individuals to stay in state jobs who don't like them because the benefits are so good. But that's now I'm going to focus on the amendment, because that's what we're having to deal with here. And when you go to the bill and look what it's saying, is what we're wanting is that people are going to be working at least, and the bill says right now, 20 hours or the equivalent. And so the proposal is to take that to 30 hours. Well, 30 hours, according to the federal government, is considered full time. So if your company employs a person for at least that amount of time and provides health care benefits, you have to provide them equally to everybody who works within the company. So now what are we incentivizing? Are we incentivizing small companies to not provide insurance? Because if they don't, then their people can qualify for this state program. And I don't think we want to be doing that. I think that we're aiming for the population that is below the requirements for full-time and requirements for a company that provides health care benefits. We're looking for that group that's below that, that they are not working up to 30 hours, but they are working at least 20 hours. So I think on both of these amendments, this one and the next one, we should reject those amendments. What we've done is we have at least 20 hours in there. They are on the working track. They are making some efforts. We want them to improve their lives, but I think that we need to leave it at that level of effort and not raise it up to what it would be as, considered full-time employment.
Representative Thrum.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and I'll be brief. I often rise in fear and trepidation to speak against any of the former speaker's amendments, but I'll give it a shot. I think there are some unintended consequences, most of which have been covered here, but it's important to remember that the ultimate goal is to move folks towards self-sufficiency, and many folks who are in part-time work spend additional time in training. And if we increase training so that they can ultimately reach self-sufficiency and find better paying jobs, hopefully ones that come with health insurance. But if we make the work burden too high, we may actually be defeating the purpose that we're striving for. Also, the other perhaps unintended consequence is if part-time workers are not eligible for coverage like that, we'll find them in our emergency rooms where we know that all of us eat the costs. And finally, many part-time workers are females with children, and we already have significant issues in this state with wage gap disparities. And so I understand the philosophy behind the amendment, but don't believe that it would achieve the goal of actually making it easier for people to work and encouraging them to move towards self-sufficiency, and I think it would have the opposite effect of keeping people at a level where they will always need public services because they can't ever get their head above water through training or improving their job skills to find better employment. Thank you.
Representative Bonner.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, this is not an entitlement program. Enrollments, enrollees, participants in this program will be required to work 20 hours a week at a minimum. And the reason most likely that they are only and they're not in, eligible for any other health insurance program. The reason they're not going to be eligible for any other health program is that they're part-time employees, they're underemployed. That's a fact of life at a time when we're living with unemployment at an absolutely high rate. So this is not an entitlement program against the amendment and for the bill.
Representative Hammonds.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This is one of those King Solomon decisions. You worry about, you believe both sides that are being presented. I am completely persuaded by the idea that if it's going to succeed, you need people who are out there working as many hours as they can. And so that if you would say that at least it's 30, that you've got a better pool of people that you're dealing with. On the other hand, I'm persuaded by the people who are saying, listen, this has been well thought out, and we're at 20 as a minimum, and that's what we want to do. And so what I've been doing is calculating and finding out exactly how much money these individuals actually are living on. I thought, well, that might inform me. If you worked a 40-hour week and you made minimum wage in Wyoming, you would make $15,000 annually. Now, I didn't give that person 2 weeks off, and, of course, these people are working by per hour. So if they get sick, they don't get paid that day. But if they worked every single day, 40 hours a week, 52 weeks, they would make $15,000. That's the 40. If you drop it to 30, that same individual, no vacations, no sick days, makes $11,300 for one person. If they worked 29 hours, it's $10,933. If they worked 20 hours, they would only be making $7,540. I don't know how they could live on that amount. I was hoping that would help me understand better how to make a decision. And it doesn't. What I do know is that this is a deal breaker for some of you. You will not vote for this bill unless you feel like people are working 30 hours. I also know the next step in the process is if we amend this bill on this third reading, it will go to a committee that will have the laws regarding that swing hour amount of 30 hours versus 29 hours. We encountered that when we were dealing with the idea of bringing our state school district employees into the state insurance system. The state of Wyoming gives you insurance if you work 20 hours. Many of our school districts don't give you insurance unless you work 30 hours. So many of our school districts hire aides and bus drivers for only 29 hours so they don't have to pay benefits. So that is a practice across the state of Wyoming. Now, our good friend has told us that the Second Amendment will be pulled. So the only thing we have before us is the amendment for 30 hours. So if we do want this legislation to go forward so it can go to conference committee and this can be resolved, respecting both sides of the issue, but with more information about that 30 hours versus 29 hours, I think I can vote for this amendment so that perhaps this state can have a pilot project that will find out if there is a way for all of us to help everyone work and be able to have a livable wage that they can support themselves, and they can also develop a health savings account and work towards having a job where they have insurance. And for that reason, I'm going to support the amendment because I want this to be able to go forward. And I have concerns that it might be a deal breaker.
Anyone else for their first time? For your second time? Representative Edmonds, did you want a first time? Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just quickly, from the last speaker, as I read the eligibility requirements, we're talking a family income not exceeding 200% of the federal poverty level, which Unfortunately, my computer got taken from me, and I don't have the notes that I had. But I'm thinking that's above 50,000, and then at least working 20 hours. So I just wanted to clarify that for the body, that we're talking about the under eligibility. We're talking about family income not exceeding 200%.
Anyone else for their first time? Representative Brown for your second time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Think about who we're talking about here. These are not wealthy people. They may not be highly motivated, I don't know, but these people, you know, one time a partner of mine took a turn as a city judge in Rawlins. And there was a gap. They needed a city judge. She said, I'll do it. She did it for about 6 weeks. I thought the most interesting thing she told me out of that is she said, I sat there for 6 weeks on the bench and heard all these cases, these little misdemeanors, drunks on the sidewalk, parking tickets, all that kind of stuff. And she said, I've never seen any of these people before. And I remember another time when we had a petition in Saratoga that came before the town council, and the mayor was a friend of mine, and it had 100 names on it. In Saratoga, it's a pretty small place. And he was a very well-connected individual, one of the retailers downtown. And he and I sat down and went over that petition, and he looked up at me with just a blank look on his face. He said, I don't know a single one of these people. And I think that's the kind of people we're talking about here. I don't think these are people that probably most of us know. And that's always fascinated me, that I think within the community that we live in, there are concurrent circles of lots of people, and there's not necessarily a lot of interchange in between those circles. And there are circles, total, complete social circles in any one of your communities that you just don't know, you just don't see. So let's think about it. This is a group of people, they're not like us. They just really aren't. Family income no more than 200% of federal poverty level, and they have to work at least 20 hours a week. These just aren't people that we bump into. Now, what do they have to do to get into this thing? They have to have, they're going to have a preference. They don't have to, but there's a strong preference, priority in enrollment, for those who have completed a vocational readiness or work preparation program. Now, that tells me that there's something going on there. And they have to be persons who have been participants in Medicaid and who've become ineligible for that program due to increased earnings, or whose income is less than or equal to 150% of the poverty level. So what are these people working minimum wage jobs, not putting in 40 hours a week, not particularly well motivated, going to do when they have a health crisis? They're going to split. They're going to quit their job, impoverish themselves, and requalify for Medicaid, and we're on the hook for the money. That's what we're trying to prevent. We're trying to take those people, and we're trying to say, look, it's a pilot program, but we're saying to them, look, we got a better deal. It requires some participation on your part. It requires that you participate in this HSA, that you do these things that are in the program. You go get wellness exams. You get your colorectal exams. There's some money in the HSA that you pay your health insurance premiums with, and that you pay your co-pays with, that you manage within limits. Those limits loosen over time as they theoretically at least become more responsible with the money. And here's an opportunity for you to continue to work and not just become a total deadbeat, because that's what you need to do to qualify for Medicaid and better yourself. And then there's a sliding scale in there on the co-pays. And as their pay increases, as they better themselves, as we hope they do, the sliding scale makes them start to have a little more skin in the game. But they're all going to have a little skin in the game. It's up to the Benefit Design Committee just exactly how they're going to do that. But they're all going to have a little skin in the game, which increases. And so they have some buy-in, and they have some participation, and hopefully some responsibility. But it is, and then we take a look at this through the studies and say, look, we come back here, we look at it, and we say, which way is cheaper? Are we making any progress here, or are we just totally butting our head against the wall, and we're better off just letting them bug out, impoverish themselves, and fall back into Medicaid and fund it that way? We hope that we don't, but that's what the prime sponsor of this bill tried to engineer, is a way to move these people off of Medicaid and move them up into a more and more productive part of society. So that's why I don't like the amendment, because I do want to take these 20-hour people. They're doing something. They may be deadbeats, but they're not totally deadbeats. And by the same token, they're not in a fully benefited full-time job. Those kind of the in-betweeners. In fact, in golf, there's a between irons. They call those tweeners, those shots. It just reminds me of the same thing. But they're just in there. There's an area in there. And they're not people that you see every day, and they're not total deadbeats. They're somewhere in between, and we're trying to rescue them, and we're trying to say, okay, I think I see something here. They're working some. They're not on Medicaid. They're not costing us anything. If they have a serious problem, they're either going to be in the emergency room or on Medicaid or on both. They're going to be back off the payroll. They start to come up out of poverty, and they just get knocked down and knocked down and knocked down. And we're saying we're going to try to provide a way. You've shown some incentive, some initiative. You're working some. There's a better world up there. If you can ever work your way up to the point where you have a fully benefited job, then it's better. The sliding scale means that they have no incentive. That's why I'm going to pull the next amendment on 29 hours. There's no incentive to do that. The sliding scale is going to put an escalating amount of skin in the game for them as they work their way up. When they become finally fully benefited, they work their way out of this thing. So that's what we hope to do. By putting 30 hours in there, we destroy about a large part of what this program's trying to accomplish. And we take those that are less than 30 hours and we leave them right where we found them, which is, if you have any kind of a problem, just bail and dive back into Medicaid. That's what we're trying to avoid. So that's the reason I would ask you to resist the amendment and vote aye on the bill.
Anyone else for their second time? Chairman Cohey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'll be short, but respectfully not so brief. You know, it's been a very valid discussion for me and very helpful, and I respect every point of view, each and every one. To the matter, there is a component in the bill suggesting that once successful, as measured by the earning power compared to poverty guidelines in your specific area, that that person will no longer have access to that benefit. In other words, go get your own insurance, assuming that they will. If any of you believe that that weaning process will happen, I'll talk to you later. The health care debate that revolves in this country, you know, it discusses things like access. If any of you think we have poor access, that's not true. It revolves around the discussion of quality. If any of you think the quality of medicine in this country is poor, I can point out about 150 others that have worse. The problem with health care in this country is the cost. Why is that? Many small employers of this country provide insurance to their employees. They used to provide it for their entire families. I believe as an employer that that's a responsibility. I know that most employers in this state and many in small enterprise in this country insure their employees and wish they could insure their employees' dependents. Let me share with you how that does not work. I would like to provide more for the employees of my company in form of providing a benefit in insurance to their dependents. And just about the time that my business partner sitting upstairs and I believe that we can afford to do that, the price goes up, making it so that we can't. What has happened in the insurance industry, they know what small employment is doing. They're pushing up the cost of the employee and driving down the price a little bit for the dependents, hoping that the employee will take a little bit of initiative and exercise a little bit of personal responsibility and insure their dependents. When I question our employees, what can we as a company do to get you to insure your dependents, the answer is fairly unanimous, pay for it. But, you know, almost to a person, each one of them makes a payment on a boat or a jet ski or some useless crap of life, as opposed to paying for the things that they really should be doing. Now, I don't know how all of you grew up, but my parents wouldn't have bought a boat before they paid for health insurance for their family, no more than many of us do. But that's the case nowadays. Each year, fewer and fewer people are practicing personal responsibilities by having less than perfect priority systems. This bill is designed to mitigate the state's Medicaid expense. I applaud that. It's designed to mitigate expenses to our hospitals and our health care providers by seeing that they receive payment on par, that they receive payment as per usual and customary instead of the lower Medicaid match. I applaud that. That's a great idea. I respect that. And I hope it works as intended. But I do have my fears, a whole lot like setting fire to the weeds behind your fence, seeing that you get a benefit of a clear area behind the fence, but really you have to worry a little bit about what happens to the acreage next to you. 30 hours isn't much. We've debated this amendment just about that long. You know, in my district, there are a lot of people in private enterprise. I represent them, and I'm proud to do that. But I got to tell you, if I went to talk to them as a group and suggested to them that the federal government suggests strongly that 30 hours is full time, I can only imagine the laughter. But then, judging their work product of late, I can only begin to understand the ethic as well. The only thing that you have before us is 30 hours. I would suggest that a conference would maybe put us somewhere in the middle of what the bill says now and that 30-hour figure. Mr. Speaker, thank you.
Thank you. We are voting on third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 61. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no.
No.
Third reading amendment number 1 has failed. Representative Brown. Division being called. A little late, but please stand. I was anticipating division. All those in favor, please stand. All those opposed, please stand. The amendment has failed. Representative Brown.
Mr. Speaker, I withdraw third reading amendment number 2.
Senate File 6, third reading amendment number 2 is withdrawn. Senate File 61, having been read 3 separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Anderson.
Aye.
Bagby.
Aye.
Barbudo.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Flickrey. Bonner. Bonner.
Aye.
Brechtel. Brown, Buchanan, Byrd, Kennedy, Carson, Childers, Cohey, Connolly, Kraft, Davison, Dirks, Edmonds, Esquivel, Gilmore, Gingery, Goggles, Hales, Hallinan excused, Hammonds, Harshman, Harvey, Illaway, Yagi, Jorgensen, Kimball, Landon, Lockhart, Lubno, Madden, McKim, McComey, Miller, Millen, Moniz, Patton, Peasley, Pedersen, Peterson, Filth excused, Korberg, Roscoe, Semlich, Shepperson, Stewart, Stubson, Teeters, Thompson, Throne, Wallace, Zwanitzer Dan, Zwanitzer Dave. Mr. Speaker, I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 42 aye, 16 no, 2 excused.
Senate File 61, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, Senate File 61 has passed the House. The final bill for our consideration is... Oh, sorry about that. Jumped the gun. Darn. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 64.
Senate Bill 64, introduced by Senator Scott, an act relating to motor vehicles regarding safety belt violations, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Representative Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move third reading amendment number one, and we'll remove it at the appropriate time. I'll be real quick because you heard my rant yesterday, and the other bodies killed all my bills today, so I'm not in a great mood. What my point is, what I was trying to make yesterday, was that we had a bill last year. It was called Duty of Care, and we were trying to find ways of helping those that have been killed on in workplace. And that bill went away, and we were told, well, you know what, we're going to study this. We're going to create this task force. We're all going to come together, and we're going to come up with great ideas and start tackling our problem, in that we are one of the worst states in the nation to work in regards to death. And we need to change that. We need to stop this culture of death that occurs in our workplaces. And so I was excited when we set up a task force. And this is what they came up with. They want to raise the discretion of the judge on a seatbelt violation from $25 to $75. That was the solution. Out of all that work, they had a few other things. That bill died already. My point is this, is that I urge you to vote no, because I'm worried that if we vote yes, suddenly everybody will go, okay, well, we've fixed the workplace problem. No more deaths in the workplace. We're all done with that issue. And we need to send a message that we're not done, and then we need to start over. You know, the state north of us, they have this Safety Culture Act that they passed up there, which really deals with the issue and gets to it and really gets into voluntary programs within workplaces and gets to the issue. And that's sort of what I was hoping for. And the other issue I'd go to is, you know, raising penalties, it's an interesting idea. You know, I usually, when I bring bills dealing with criminal acts, I'm usually trying to close loopholes. Penalties normally aren't a big deal to me unless we're dealing with fairness where, you know, one penalty doesn't make sense in relationship to another penalty. But just raising penalties, there's not a lot of people cruising around looking at, through the green books, oh my gosh, they raised the penalties, I better stick my seatbelt on. I just don't think people stare through the green books as much as we think they do. Anyway, you've heard the rant yesterday, you heard it today. I urge you to vote no on this bill. Don't send the message that we solved this problem, because we certainly did not. And let's go back to the drawing board and start over and really solve workplace deaths in Wyoming.
Representative Throne.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I rise in opposition to the amendment and in support of the bill. Probably as much as anyone on this floor, I have reason to be extremely frustrated with our lack of progress this year on the worker safety issue, having seen a bill die on the other side that went through here with maybe 4 votes of opposition. But that doesn't mean we should throw out the baby with the bathwater. This bill is not going to solve our worker safety problems. It's just one piece of the puzzle. I think it's also important for this body to understand that a lot of the efforts of the workplace safety group don't involve legislation. There are ongoing cooperative efforts in the oil and gas industry with OSHA to help small business solve some of their safety issues. And those meetings will continue. There are items in the budget for an epidemiologist to study the issue. Certainly I share the bringer of the amendment's frustration because we certainly have not done enough. No doubt about it, but that doesn't mean we should do nothing. And this was one piece that the task force agreed on, I think, across the board. And we shouldn't ignore what they studied. We didn't study the issue. They studied the issue. So I would urge everyone to defeat the amendment and support the bill.
Representative Esquivel.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And on in favor of the amendment. I remember when we were introducing legislation and I got up and spoke about the workforce safety task force, and this is what they brought us, was a one-page bill. And at that time, I thought that it was pathetic as well. And that as the session moved on, we introduced more legislation to bring about issues of workplace safety and safety on our highways. And just a couple days ago when we're interim, we bring it back and we talk about the safe transportation of workers in the state of Wyoming. And the Labor Committee looks at it as it's a transportation issue, and the Transportation Committee looks at it as it's a labor issue. And I don't know if the Management Council is going to look at it at all. You know, we'll just have to bring back some more issues in the next session. But it is our highways that seem to be the most dangerous place of activity in the state of Wyoming. And having a safety belt violation is, in my view, not really getting at the heart of the issue, where these workers are actually dying. And I would vote for this just because it's all we got. And like the previous speaker said, why throw the baby out with the bathwater? But it certainly is not enough, and I hope we all come back next year and take a serious look at this issue. And hopefully there's not any catastrophic incidences within the state that make us feel as we should have done something this year.
Representative Bonner.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Continuing the baby analogy, my colleague on committee reminds us that it's okay, in fact, it's good to take baby steps. 60% of all occupational fatalities in Wyoming are transportation related. That's a fact. Investigation revealed that in a significant number of those traffic deaths, the drivers were not wearing seatbelts. Seatbelts were not employed. This is simply an attempt, a very direct attempt to persuade drivers to belt up. Assess a fine or a penalty of $75, and you're going to send a message. You're going to give attention to the fact that you should be belting up. You're going to increase awareness. You're going to persuade people that seatbelt use is absolutely necessary. It does, remember, continue secondary enforcement. This is not a primary. There was some conversation in committee about going to primary, and I was not in favor of that, wouldn't support that. But this is a continuation of secondary enforcement. Please, I urge your no vote on the amendment and aye on the bill.
Representative Teeters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Rising on and against the bill and in favor of the amendment, I think that if we want to do something to make ourselves feel good, then go ahead and pass this piece of legislation. Why don't we go in every year, in fact, and put an external cost adjustment on all the fines so that we can make everybody aware that we're serious about this and we mean it, and here you go. We want to keep it in front of you. We don't do that. It's not the way we govern. I feel the need to support my good friend from the land of the snow and the mountains because nobody else is. So I would urge you to go ahead and vote no and defeat this bill.
Anyone else for their first time? Chairman Cohey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm not sure of how many people look and read at those green books or why they should. But what they do understand is an effect of their pocketbook. Substantial data exists. It's out there that more than suggests that the higher the fine, the higher the penalty, the higher the utilization of seatbelts. I'm not sure that I'm not hearing a little bit of my way or nothing at all. If your cousin was still here, he could sing that. I know that many people in the trails that I cross are penny wise and pound foolish. You get a fine for $25, which also reduces the other fine by $10. The net effect is a $15 fine for not wearing a seatbelt. I know a lot of people will step over $15, and I know most of you do too. So, Mr. Speaker, I'm in favor of the bill and against the amendment.
Anyone else for their first time? Or second time? Representative Landon.
Mr. Chairman, I wasn't going to get up, but it was almost an invitation. I feel good. And I like doing things that make me feel good. And this bill is one of those things. If this helps a number of people, influences the rate of seatbelt use by just even 1 or 2%, I think we can feel good about it. So against the amendment and for the bill.
Mr. Dubois, for your first time. Oh, sorry. Anyone else for their first time? For your second time? Representative Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And I'm sure this will pass, and that's fine. My point is that we can't forget about the workplace study. I'm certainly disappointed. And here's the problem. I wish I had never brought that duty of care bill, because what's happened to me is all these folks that have lost loved ones, they all write to me, and they all call me, and they all want to know what I'm doing, that their child didn't die in vain, that fell off an oil rig because some oil company wouldn't take the time to put up the safety rigging. And I have to go back now and say, yeah, boy, we did something. We raised the fine on seat belts. And I don't know how I make those phone calls, but that's the part I'm disappointed in.
Do withdraw the amendment, please, Mr. Chairman.
I withdraw the amendment.
Thank you. Third reading amendment number one is withdrawn. Senate File 64, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Anderson.
No.
Bagby.
Aye.
Barbuto.
No.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
No.
Flickrey.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Brechtel.
No.
Brechtel.
No.
Brown.
No.
Buchanan.
No.
Byrd.
No.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Carson.
Aye.
Childers.
No.
Cohey.
Aye.
Connolly.
No.
Kraft.
No.
Davison.
No.
Dirks.
No.
Edmonds.
No.
Esquivel.
No.
Gilmore.
No.
Gingery.
No.
Goggles.
No.
Hales.
No.
Hallinan excused. Hammonds.
No.
Harshman.
No.
Harvey.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Illaway.
No.
Yagi.
No.
Jorgensen.
No.
Kimball.
No.
Landon. Lockhart.
Aye.
Lubno.
No.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
McComey.
Aye.
Miller.
No.
Millen.
No.
Moniz.
No.
Patton.
No.
Peasley.
No.
Pedersen.
No.
Peterson.
Aye.
Filth excused. Korberg.
No.
Roscoe.
No.
Simlick.
No.
Shepperson.
No.
Stewart.
No.
Stubson.
Aye.
Teeters.
No.
Thompson.
No.
Throne. Wallace.
No.
Zwanitzer Dan.
No.
Zwanitzer Dave.
No.
Mr. Speaker.
No.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 17 aye, 41 no, 2 excused.
Senate File 64. Having failed to receive the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, Senate File 64 has failed to pass the House. The last bill for our consideration is Senate File 25.
Senate File 25, introduced by the Judiciary Committee, an act relating to liens, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Senate File 25, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Anderson.
Aye.
Bagby.
Aye.
Barbuto.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Flickrey.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Buchanan.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Carson.
Aye.
Childers.
Aye.
Cohey.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Dirks.
Aye.
Edmonds.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Gilmore.
Aye.
Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles. Hales. Hallinan excused. Hammonds. Harshman. Harvey. Illaway. Yagi. Jorgensen. Kimball. Landon. Lockhart. Lubno. Madden. McKim. McComey. Miller. Millen. Moniz. Patton. Peasley. Pedersen. Peterson. Philp excused. Korberg. Roscoe. Simlick. Shepperson. Stewart. Stubson. Teeters. Thompson. Throne. Wallace. Zwanitzer Dan. Zwanitzer Dave. Mr. Speaker, I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Throne. Aye to no. Are there any other changes? Gilmore. Aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 55 aye, 3 no, 2 excused.
Senate File 25, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, Senate File 25 has passed the House. Representative Stubson.
Mr. Speaker, having voted on the prevailing side, I've moved to reconsider the third reading vote of Senate File 20.
You have heard the motion. This will be a roll call vote. A majority of the members present is required. The Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
Anders.
Excuse me, point of order. An aye vote is a vote to reconsider the vote on Senate File 20. And then if that passes, we will then have another roll call vote on Senate File 20. The motion is not debatable. Will the Chief Clerk please call the roll on reconsideration?
Anderson. Aye. Bagby. Aye. Barbuto.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
No.
Flickery.
No.
Bonner.
No.
Bonner.
No.
Brechtel.
No.
Brown.
No.
Buchanan.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Kennedy.
No.
Carson.
No.
Childers.
No.
Cohey.
No.
Connolly.
No.
Kraft. Davison, Dirks, Edmonds, Esquivel, Gilmore, Gingery, Goggles, Hales, Hallinan excused, Hammonds, Harshman, Harvey, Illaway, Yagi, Jorgensen, Kimball, Landon, Lockhart, Lubno, Madden, McKim, McComey.
No.
Miller.
Aye.
Millen.
No.
Moniz.
Aye.
Patton.
Aye.
Peasley.
Aye.
Pedersen.
Aye.
Peterson.
No.
Philp excused. Korberg.
Aye.
Roscoe.
No.
Simlick.
Aye.
Shepperson.
Aye.
Stewart.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Teeters.
Aye.
Thompson.
No.
Throne.
No.
Wallace.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dave. Mr. Speaker,
aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Brechtel, aye, or no to aye. Are there any other changes? Davison, no to aye. Throne, are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 33 aye, 25 no, 2 excused.
The motion to reconsider has passed. We are now voting again on Senate File 20, text-based communications prohibited while driving. Will the Chief Clerk please call the roll?
Anderson.
No.
Bagby.
Aye.
Barbuto.
No.
Berger.
No.
Blake.
Aye.
Blickery.
Aye.
Bonner.
No.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Buchanan.
No.
Byrd.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Carson.
Aye.
Childers.
Aye.
Cohey.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Davison.
No.
Dirks. Edmonds,
no.
Esquivel,
aye.
Gilmore,
aye.
Gingery,
aye.
Goggles,
aye.
Hales,
aye.
Hallinan excused, Hammonds,
aye.
Harshman,
no.
Harvey,
aye.
Illaway,
no.
Yagi,
no.
Jorgensen,
aye.
Kimball,
aye.
Landon,
no.
Lockhart,
aye.
Lubno,
no.
Madden.
No.
McKim.
No.
McComey.
Aye.
Miller.
No.
Millen.
Aye.
Moniz.
No.
Patton.
Aye.
Peasley.
No.
Pedersen.
No.
Peterson.
Aye.
Philp excused. Korberg.
No.
Roscoe.
Aye.
Simlick.
No.
Shepperson.
No.
Stewart.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Teeters.
No.
Thompson.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Wallace.
No.
Swanitzer Dan.
No.
Swanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
No.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Bonner. No to aye. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 32 ayes, 26 noes, 2 excused.
By your vote, our Senate File 25, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, Senate File 25 has passed the House twice. Senate File 20 has passed the House. Senate File 20. Madam Majority Whip, would you come up, please? We are at that order of business of request to concur with Senate amendments to House bills. Ladies and gentlemen, you have a sheet. We have 11 of them. The first message for our consideration is message number 223 on House Bill 64. Chairman Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move concurrence with message number 223 in regards to House Bill 64, mandatory minimum sentence for sexual abuse of a minor. Just a few small changes. We had been using the word assault in the bill. It's actually abuse, and so that had to get changed. And then on the other side, if you recall, the crime exists if you are 16 years or older and you have sexual intercourse with a child who is 12 or under, then it's an automatic 25 years. In the bill, we made it 18 years to receive the 25 years. You had to be 18 years old. 16, 17-year-olds would be sentenced lesser. They would not have the mandatory minimum of 25. What the Senate did was raise it from 18 to 21. So you would have to be 21 years of age to get the minimum mandatory at 25. Now, you can still be convicted if you're 16, 17, 18, 19, or 20 years old. You just would not get the minimum mandatory of 25. That's what they changed, and according to the sponsor of the bill, she's okay with that change and would ask for your aye vote.
Would anyone else like to speak? We are voting on the motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 64. A majority of the elected members is required. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Anderson.
Aye.
Bagby.
Aye.
Barbuto.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Blickrey. Blickrey.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Buchanan.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Carson. Childers,
aye.
Cohey,
aye.
Connolly,
aye.
Kraft,
aye.
Davison,
aye.
Dirks,
no.
Edmonds,
aye.
Esquivel,
aye.
Gilmore,
aye.
Gingery,
aye.
Goggles,
aye.
Hales,
aye.
Hallinan excused, Hammonds,
aye.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Illaway,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Jorgensen,
aye.
Kimball,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Lubnow, Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
McComey,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Millen,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Patton,
no.
Peasley,
no.
Pedersen,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Philp excused, Korberg,
aye.
Roscoe,
aye.
Simlick,
aye.
Shepperson,
aye.
Stewart,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Thompson,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Wallace,
Swanitzer
Dan.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? McComey? Aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 53 aye, 5 no, 2 excused.
By your vote, you have voted to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 64. The next message for our consideration is message number 226 on House Bill 79. Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I move for concurrence and your aye vote on message number 226, House Bill 79, the eminent domain wind power collector lines. There's two minor additions to this, and I suggest that they are helpful, not harmful. There's one more person added from the private sector as appointed by the governor, and then we extend the termination date of the task force to December 31, 2010. No other changes of substance were in the amendment or in the Senate work. Thank you. I urge your aye vote.
Any other discussion on the message? We are voting on the motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 79. A majority of the elected members is required. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Anderson. Aye. Bagby. Aye. Barbudo.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Flickrey.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Buchanan.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Carson.
Aye.
Childers.
Aye.
Cohey. Connolly,
aye.
Kraft,
aye.
Davison,
aye.
Dirks,
aye.
Edmonds,
aye.
Esquivel,
aye.
Gilmore,
aye.
Gingery,
aye.
Goggles,
aye.
Hales,
aye.
Hallinan excused, Hammonds,
aye.
Harshman, Harvey,
aye.
Illaway,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Jorgensen,
aye.
Kimball,
aye.
Landon, Lockhart,
aye.
Lubno,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
McComey,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Millen,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Patton,
aye.
Peasley,
aye.
Pedersen,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Philp excused, Korberg,
aye.
Roscoe,
aye.
Simlick,
aye.
Shepperson,
aye.
Stewart,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Thompson,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Wallace,
aye.
Swanitzer Dan, Swanitzer Dave. Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
Harshman.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 58 ayes, 2 excused.
By your vote, you have voted to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 79. The next message for our consideration is message number 228 on House Bill 83. Chairman Gingery.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move concurrence with message number 228 in regards to House Bill 83, Crimes and Offenses Restrictions for Adult Sex Offenders. On the Senate side, what they did, that first amendment you see there, we had that you had to post a sign on your school, and they took out all the posting of signs. Then the second amendment deals with, we had that you had to be within outside of 2,000 feet. They took it down to 1,000 feet. And then lastly, there's a small amendment dealing with, instead of just the word property, you have owned or leased by a school. From talking with the sponsor of this bill, he'd like to go to conference committee to discuss maybe instead of 1,000, settling for 1,500 feet. He would urge you to, and I guess I would, to vote no on concurrence, and we could go to conference committee and talk about moving that to 1,500 feet. So vote no.
We are voting on the motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 83. A majority of the elected members is required. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Anderson.
No.
Bagby.
No.
Barbudo.
No.
Berger.
No.
Blake.
No.
Flickrey.
No.
Bonner.
No.
Brechtel.
No.
Brechtel. Brown.
No.
Buchanan.
No.
Byrd. Kennedy,
no.
Carson,
no.
Childers,
no.
Cohey,
no.
Connolly,
no.
Kraft,
no.
Davison,
no.
Dirks,
no.
Edmonds,
no.
Esquivel,
no.
Gilmore,
no.
Gingery,
no.
Goggles,
no.
Hales,
no.
Hallinan excused, Hammonds,
no.
Harshman,
no.
Harvey,
no.
Illaway,
no.
Yagi,
no.
Jorgensen,
no.
Kimball,
no.
Landon,
aye.
Lockhart.
No.
Lubno.
No.
Madden.
No.
McKim.
No.
McComey.
Aye.
Miller.
No.
Millen.
No.
Moniz.
No.
Patton.
Aye.
Peasley.
No.
Pedersen.
No.
Peterson.
No.
Filth excused. Korberg.
No.
Roscoe.
No.
Simlick.
No.
Shepperson.
No.
Stewart.
No.
Stubson.
Aye.
Teeters.
Aye.
Thompson.
No.
Throne.
No.
Wallace.
No.
Zwanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dave.
No.
Zwanitzer Dave.
No.
Zwanitzer Dave.
No.
No?
No.
Thank you. Mr. Speaker.
No.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Teeters? Aye to no. Carson? No to aye. Patton? No to aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 5 ayes, 53 noes, 2 excused.
By your vote, you have voted not to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 83. The next message for our consideration is message number 229 on House Bill 94, Chairman Gingery.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move concurrence with message number 229 in regards to House Bill 94, Real Property Easements. The amendment here, I think the original bill had 10 years. Someone over there was advocating for 5 years, and so the good sponsor of the bill went down and got them to put in 7, sort of split it in two. So it's my understanding the good sponsor is good with this, and so I would urge you to vote aye on concurrence.
We are voting on the motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 94. A majority of the elected members is required. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Anderson.
Aye.
Bagby.
Aye.
Barbuto.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Flickery.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Buchanan.
Aye.
Byrd. Kennedy,
aye.
Carson,
aye.
Childers,
aye.
Childers, Cohey,
aye.
Connolly,
aye.
Kraft,
aye.
Davison,
aye.
Dirks,
aye.
Edmonds,
aye.
Esquivel,
aye.
Gilmore,
aye.
Gingery,
aye.
Goggles,
aye.
Hales,
aye.
Hallinan excused, Hammonds,
aye.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Illaway,
aye.
Yagi, Jorgensen,
aye.
Kimball,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Lubno,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
McComey,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Millen,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Patton,
aye.
Peasley,
aye.
Pedersen,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Filth excused, Korberg,
aye.
Roscoe,
aye.
Simlick,
aye.
Shepperson,
aye.
Stewart,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Thompson,
aye.
Throne, Wallace,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dan,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
Childers,
aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 58 ayes, 2 excused.
By your vote, you have voted to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 94. The next message for our consideration is message number 230 on House Bill 95, Chairman Gingery.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move concurrence with message number 230 in regards to House Bill number 95, Wyoming Firearms Freedom Act number 2. Here's what they changed. The major change is over on page 7, and this dealt with, there was a section in here that if you're a public servant of the state of Wyoming and that you try to enforce a rule or regulation of the federal government, that you would be guilty of a misdemeanor. They took out that misdemeanor part, and what they did was instead say no public servant, as defined in, by a statute number, or dealer selling any firearms. They added in that part about dealer selling firearm, that they will not try to enforce federal law, but there's no penalty if they try. So they took out the penalty part. It says they shouldn't try to enforce federal law. The part dealing with the federal officials stayed intact, so that still is a crime. If a federal official tries to enforce a federal law, then they're guilty of a misdemeanor. But the part where the state public servant, that part's out. They also took out in that same part about the state public servant that they should not try to enforce any act, order, law, statute, rule, or regulation. They took out the word order out of that list. And then lastly, they went through and changed some of the definitions. I think ammunition got changed around a little bit, and the definition, I think dealing with firearms somehow got changed a little bit. But anyway, from talking with the sponsor of the bill, he'd like us to concur, and so I'd urge you to vote aye.
Representative Dave Zwanitzer.
Madam Chairman, I may have a question on this, and I think at the moment I would encourage the body to vote no. As I understand it, if I have a FFL license and I'm required by the federal government to record any and all guns that come through our hands, and I try to enforce that, then I'm technically breaking the law, but I won't be charged for it. But if I follow the Wyoming law, then would I still not be liable under federal law? And there seems like a very interesting dilemma for me. So if somebody could explain that to me, I would appreciate it. If not, then I would encourage the body to vote no so we can go over and talk to the fine other body and get it cleared up. Thank you.
Representative Yagi.
Thank you, Madam Chair. In talking with this, I don't think that is the case. We already have something covering that. That was brought up, and I think it's just kind of a fuzzy area, but it was already covered, and so we decided not to mess with that, and we had the enforcement folks okay with that. So I'd urge you to vote aye.
For your second time, Representative Dave Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. The amendment reads, no public servant is defined by 65101 or dealer. And that puts a lot of dealers in the state of Wyoming in a very precarious position. And it says that we shall not enforce or even attempt to enforce. But yet, when we sign up for an FFL license, I believe we take an oath and sign papers and do all that we will enforce the federal laws. So I would once again encourage everybody to vote no so we can go over and maybe have a chance to get that straightened out. Thank you.
We are voting on the motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 95. A majority of the elected members is required. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Anderson.
No.
Bagby.
Aye.
Barbudo.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Flickrey.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Brechtel. Brown, Buchanan, Byrd, Kennedy, Carson, Childers, Cohey, Connolly, Kraft, Davison, Dirks, Edmonds, Esquivel, Gilmore, Gingery, Goggles, Hales, Hallinan excused, Hammonds, Harshman, Harvey, Illaway, Yagi,
aye.
Jorgensen,
aye.
Kimball,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Lockhart,
no.
Lubno,
aye.
Madden,
no.
McKim,
aye.
McComey,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Millen,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Patton,
aye.
Peasley,
no.
Pedersen,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Philp excused, Korberg,
aye.
Roscoe,
no.
Simlick,
no.
Shepherson,
aye.
Stewart,
no.
Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Thompson,
no.
Throne,
no.
Wallace,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dan,
no.
Zwanitzer Dave,
no.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 38 ayes, 20 noes, 2 excused.
By your vote, you have voted to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 95. The next message for our consideration is message number 231 on House Bill 97. Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I move concurrence on message number 231, House Bill 97, Nuclear Energy Production Study. The body at the end of the hall, in their wisdom, decided to take out person that has a who sits on this three-person appointed by the governor background in revenue and taxation and replace it with a member of the public at large so that it wasn't limited to that way. I urge your support of the amendment and concurrence.
Any other discussion? We are voting on the motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 97. A majority of the elected members is required. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Anderson. Aye. Bagby. Aye. Barbuto.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Flake.
Aye.
Flickrey.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Buchanan.
Aye.
Bird.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Carson.
Aye.
Childers.
Aye.
Cohey.
Aye.
Connolly. Kraft,
aye.
Davison,
aye.
Dirks,
aye.
Edmonds,
aye.
Esquivel,
aye.
Gilmore,
aye.
Gingery,
aye.
Goggles,
aye.
Hales,
aye.
Hallinan excused, Hammonds,
aye.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Illaway,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Jorgensen,
aye.
Kimball,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Lubno,
aye.
Madden, Madden, McKim,
aye.
McComey,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Millen,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Patton,
aye.
Peasley,
aye.
Pedersen,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Philp, excused, Korberg,
aye.
Roscoe,
aye.
Simlick,
aye.
Shepperson,
aye.
Stewart,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Thompson,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Wallace,
aye.
Swanitzer Dan,
aye.
Swanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 58 ayes, 2 excused.
By your vote, you have voted to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 97. The next message for our consideration is message 232 on House Bill 111. Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I move concurrence on message number 232, House Bill 111, Electric Transmission Considerations of Regional Issues. The body at the other end of the hall added a phrase to the bill that would urge the Public Service Commission to do something that by law they can do anyway, but this just makes it clear that they need to do it in this case. And I urge your concurrence on this bill.
We are voting on the motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 111. A majority of the elected members is required. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Anderson.
Aye.
Bagby.
Aye.
Barbuto.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Flickrey.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Buchanan.
Aye.
Bird.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Carson.
Aye.
Childers.
Aye.
Cohey.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Dirks.
Aye.
Edmonds. Esquivel,
aye.
Gilmore,
aye.
Gingery,
aye.
Goggles,
aye.
Hales,
aye.
Hallinan excused, Hammonds,
aye.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Illaway,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Jorgensen,
aye.
Kimball,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Lubno,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
McComey,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Millen, Moniz,
aye.
Patton,
aye.
Peasley,
aye.
Pedersen,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Philp excused, Korberg,
aye.
Roscoe,
aye.
Simlick,
aye.
Shepperson, Stewart,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Thompson,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Wallace,
aye.
Swanitzer Dan,
aye.
Swanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 58 ayes, 2 excused.
By your vote, you have voted to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 111. The next message for our consideration is message 233 on House Bill 122. Chairman Semlick.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move concurrence on House Bill 122 and ask for your favorable consideration. House Bill 122 dealt with the disposal of the stray animals. The changes that the Senate asked us to consider had to do with some fees with respect to impoundments. It had to do with a change in a word from disposition to disposal, relatively minor changes. The bill sponsor is fine with the amendment, so we would ask that you would concur.
Anyone else for their first time? We are voting on the motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 122. A majority of the elected members is required. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Anderson. Aye. Bagby. Aye. Barbudo.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Flickrey.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Buchanan.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Carson.
Aye.
Childers.
Aye.
Cohey.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Dirks. Edmonds, Esquivel, Gilmore, Gingery, Goggles, Hales, Hallinan excused, Hammonds, Harshman, Harvey, Illaway, Yagi, Jorgensen, Kimball, Landon, Lockhart, Lubnow, Madden, McKim, McComey, Miller, Millen, Moniz, Patton, Peasley, Pedersen,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Philp excused, Korberg,
aye.
Roscoe,
aye.
Simlick,
aye.
Shepperson,
aye.
Steward,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Thompson,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Wallace,
aye.
Swanitzer Dan, Swanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed, 58-aye, 2 excused.
By your vote, you have voted to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 122. The next message for a consideration is message number 236 on House Joint Resolution 9. Chairman Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move concurrence with message number 236 in regards to House Joint Resolution 9, resolution to amend United States Constitution. You'll see there we were using the word affect, and they want us to use the word effect. The difference between A and E, I've learned today, affect is a verb, effect is a noun. The example of effect is, how will the election affect the course of history? Effect is, the election had no effect on the course of history. Now you know the distinction between the two words, and we will never make that mistake again. I would urge your concurrence.
We are voting on the motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Joint Resolution 9. A majority of the elected members is required. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Anderson, Bagby, Barbudo, Berger, Blake, Flickrey, Bonner, Brechtel, Brown, Buchanan, Byrd, Kennedy, Carson, Childers, Cohey, Connolly, Kraft, Davison, Dirks, Edmonds, Esquivel, Gilmore, Gingery, Goggles, Hales, Hallinan excused, Hammonds, Harshman, Harvey, Illaway, Yagi, Jorgensen, Kimball, Landon, Lockhart, Lubnow, Madden, McKim, McComey, Miller, Millen,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Patton,
aye.
Peasley,
aye.
Pedersen,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Philp excused, Korberg,
aye.
Roscoe,
aye.
Simlick,
aye.
Shepperson,
aye.
Steward,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Thompson,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Wallace,
aye.
Swanitzer Dan,
aye.
Swanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed, 58-aye, 2 excused.
By your vote, you have voted to concur with Senate amendments to House Joint Resolution 9. The next message for our consideration is message number 238 on House Bill 15. Chairman Illaway.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move concurrence on message number 238 to House Bill 15. It looks like a long amendment. It really is not. There was one bill that died, and the Senate amended it into House Bill 15. I've talked to the committee. All the committee members have agreed with this. It's a good piece, and really we didn't need two pieces of legislation, and the Senate saw fit to make sure that we didn't need it. So I would urge your adoption. It fits, and the Fire Marshal and Electrical Safety Board is 100% behind this. So please comply. Please say yes.
Anyone else for the first time? We're voting on the motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 15. A majority of the elected members is required. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Anderson. Bagby. Barbudo. Berger. Flake. Flickery. Bonner. Brechtel. Brown. Buchanan. Byrd. Byrd conflict. Kennedy. Carson. Childers. Childers. Cohey. Connolly. Kraft. Davison. Dirks. Edmonds. Esquivel. Gilmore. Gingery. Goggles. Hales. Helen Ann excused. Hammonds. Harshman. Harvey. Illaway. Yagi. Jorgensen. 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 Kimball. Landon. Lockhart. Lubno. Madden. McKim. McComey. Miller. Millen. Moniz. Patton. Peasley. Pedersen. Peterson. Philp excused. Korberg. Roscoe. Simlick. Shepperson. Stewart. Stubson. Teeters. Thompson. Throne. Wallace. Swanitzer Dan. Swanitzer Dave. Mr. Speaker, I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 56 aye, 1 no, 2 excused, 1 conflict.
By your vote, you have voted to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 15. The next message for our consideration is message number 241 on House Bill 18. Chairman Childers.
Well, Mr. Speaker, the Senate did a few things to I move concurrence, message 241 for House Bill 18. And I will urge your aye vote, reluctantly. What the Senate did over in the Senate TRW committee, they made a change in the definition of personal flotation devices to water toys, water sport toys as defined by rule and regulation of the commission, and then reaffirmed that the commission is making the rules and regulations. They also changed the $500,000 that we had for the state parks to $1,100,000, and then basically inserted a report to the Appropriations Committee and the TRW no later than October the 1st as to the effectiveness of law enforcement personnel, and also a report to the TRW committee as to the effectiveness of the aquatic invasive species. And then we go over to the Appropriations Committee, and they gave it a rather healthy haircut. They eliminated the $1,100,000 for the state parks, and they reduced the Game and Fish Department to $1,500,000 with what I would call a detailed layout of that it's only used for that purposes, any other purposes, and shall not be included in their other budget, et cetera, et cetera. And that's my reluctant part, but however, at this late date and the importance of the program, and being that it's a brand new program, and we have a lot to learn what it is going to cost us, I'm going to ask for your aye vote, and we can change the funding next year if we don't have enough. Vote aye.
Representative Teeters.
Yeah, Mr. Speaker, I just have a quick question. I can't find my green copy, and I'm having trouble tracking this, so maybe the good chairman can help me out. On page 8, line 16, where we're deleting personal flotation devices, is that the where we exempted personal flotation devices? Mm-hmm. I'm not tracking it through the white copy, and if we are, then we're going to require personal flotation devices to be subject to permitting? That's the way I'm reading it, but I apologize to the body for not being able to find my green copy.
Anyone else for their first time, or does anyone have a green copy they can give to Representative Teeters? Just 1 minute. Representative Teeters, I'll let you continue with your first time.
I apologize again to the body, Mr. Speaker. So, Mr. Speaker, the way I'm reading this, it's going to say, for purposes of this paragraph, watercraft means any contrivance used or designed preliminary for the navigation on water but does not include, and we deleted personal flotation devices. And that would be my concern. They're going to insert water sport toys. So you don't have to have a sticker on your remote control boat, but you will have to have one on your life jacket. So I'm concerned about that, I guess.
That's not the way I understood it, the way you just read it. If we're deleting personal flotation devices and inserting the broader language, is that what it's doing?
For my first time still, Mr. Speaker, it's we're deleting personal flotation devices and we're inserting water sport toys. Now, I don't believe life jackets are water sport toys. And they're going to define this in rule and reg. So I'm not seeing that it's a broader use of language.
Anyone else for their first time? Let's stand at ease for just a minute. The way I read this is that they're striking, well, for purposes of this paragraph, watercraft means any contrivance used or designed primarily for navigation on water but does not include personal flotation devices. And they have deleted that and inserted water sport toys as defined by rule and regulation of the commission. I suppose if you want to go back and include personal flotation devices into that definition, you could do that, but it seems broader to me that, Representative Teeters, for your second time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, for my second time. I don't think this probably has huge implications when it comes to life jackets. I hope to heck that we don't go there with this agency, but I think it could have broader implications on those flotation devices that people use to fly fish out of. You've seen them. They're an inner tube with the feet that go through. And if their attempt is to try and include those in regulation, I'm opposed to it. But I don't know enough about it at this point to stand before you and ask you to vote no. So there you go.
Too late.
Thank you.
and for the continuation of my second time.
We're going to cut you off now. Sorry. Chairman Childers.
Well, Mr. Speaker, the sentence reads, after the change, for purposes of this paragraph, watercraft means any contrivance used or designed primarily for navigation on water, but does not include water sports toys as defined by rule and regulation of the commission. In other words, they're going to define what those water sport toys are, but they are not included in watercraft.
And tell them, I don't like the word toys. Tell them that.
The good attorney standing behind me doesn't like the word toys. I'm sure it'll upset some people, but I'm truly sorry, but that's what we got. I still encourage you to vote aye.
Okay, we are voting on the motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 18. A majority of the elected members is required. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Anderson.
Aye.
Bagby.
Aye.
Barbuto.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Blickrey.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Brechtel.
No.
Brown.
No.
Buchanan.
No.
Bird. Kennedy,
aye.
Carson,
no.
Childers,
aye.
Cohey,
no.
Connolly,
no.
Kraft,
aye.
Davison,
no.
Dirks,
no.
Edmonds,
no.
Esquivel,
aye.
Gilmore,
no.
Gingery,
no.
Goggles,
aye.
Hales,
aye.
Hallinan excused, Hammonds,
no.
Harshman,
no.
Harvey,
aye.
Illaway,
Yagi,
Jorgensen,
no.
Kimball, Landon,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Lubno,
no.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
no.
McComey,
no.
Miller,
aye.
Millen,
no.
Moniz,
no.
Patton,
aye.
Peasley,
no.
Pedersen,
no.
Peterson,
aye.
Philp excused, Korberg,
no.
Roscoe, Simlek,
no.
Shepperson,
no.
Stewart,
no.
Stubson,
no.
Teeters,
no.
Thompson,
aye.
Throne,
no.
Wallace,
no.
Swanitzer Dan,
no.
Swanitzer Dave,
no.
Mr. Speaker,
no.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Miller, aye to no. Jorgensen, no to aye. Berger, no, aye to no. Harvey, aye to no. Goggles, aye to no. Barbuto, aye to no. Conley, no to aye. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 21 ayes, 37 noes, 2 excused.
By your vote, you have voted not to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 18. Representative Harshman and Chairman Childers, would you come up for a moment, please? Stand at ease for just one moment, please. Representative Miller, you may have privilege of the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It's not often we get some visitors from Riverton and UW all at the same time, but I have... a couple of my kids and their friend here from Laramie today. On the left is Brett Miller. He's a senior in electrical engineering. On the right is Scott Miller, our former messenger here on the floor of the House. And in the middle is their friend, Selena Hammer. So please welcome them to the legislature.
Conference Committee on House Bill 18 is Childers Chair, Brown and Teeters. House Bill 18, personal flotation devices, invasive aquatic species. The Conference Committee on House Bill 83 is Harshman Chair, Gingrey and Gilmore. We're at that order of business. Messages from the Senate.
Message 246, Mr. Speaker. The Senate did concur on House amendments to the bills listed below by the vote indicated. Senate File 15, Title 25, Revisions, Ayes 27, Noes 3, signed Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 247. Mr. Speaker, the Senate adopted the Joint Conference Committee number 1 report on the bill listed below by the vote indicated. Ayes 28, Noes 2, signed Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 248. Mr. Speaker, the Senate did concur on House amendments to the bill listed below by the vote indicated. Senate File 74, Subdivisions Parcels, Ayes 30, Noes 0, signed Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 250. Mr. Speaker, Senate File 36, Gillette Madison Water Project. The Senate failed to concur on House amendments to the bills listed below by the vote indicated. Ayes 0, Noes 30. Signed, Diana, the Senate requests the House to appoint a conference committee number 1 to meet with a like committee from the Senate to report recommended amendments to the bill for final consideration by both houses. Signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 251, Mr. Speaker, Senate File 7, Rangeland Health Assessments. The Senate failed to concur on the House amendments to the bills as to by the vote indicated. Ayes 9, Noes 21. Senate requests the House to appoint a conference committee number 1 to meet with the like committee from the Senate to report recommended amendments to the bill for final consideration by both houses. Signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 252, Mr. Speaker, Senate File 13, Economic Analysis. The Senate failed to concur on House amendments to the bills listed below by the vote indicated. Ayes 1, Noes 29. The Senate requests Joint Conference Committee number to meet with a like committee from the Senate to report recommended amendments to the bill for final consideration by both houses. Signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 253, Mr. Speaker, Senate File 31, Federal Natural Resources Policy Account. The Senate failed to concur on House amendments to the bills as by the vote indicated. Ayes 0, Noes 30. The Senate requests the House to appoint a conference committee number 1 to meet with like committee from the Senate to report recommended amendments to the bill for final consideration by both houses. Message 254, Mr. Speaker, House Senate File 39, Post-Secondary Education Options Program. The Senate failed to concur on the House amendments to the bills listed above by the vote indicated. Ayes 2, Noes 27, excused 1. The Senate requests the House appoint a conference committee number 1 to meet with a like committee from the Senate to report recommended amendments to the bill for final consideration by both houses. Signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 255, Mr. Speaker, the Senate did concur on House amendments to the bills as below by the vote indicated. Senate File 78, Illegal Fish Stocking, Ayes 30, Noes 0. Signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 256, Mr. Speaker, the Senate did concur on House amendments to the bills as below by the vote indicated. Senate File 66, Industrial Siting Amendments, Ayes 22, Noes 8. Signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 257, Mr. Speaker, House Bill 26, Medical Review Panel. The Senate adopted the Joint Conference Committee number 1 bill on the bill listed above by the vote indicated. Ayes 28, Noes 2. Signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk.
Thank you. We're at that order of business of signing of enrolled acts.
House Enrolled Act number 46 being original House Bill number 1. An act to make appropriations for the biennium commencing July 1st, 2010 and ending June 30th, 2012. Being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
I'm about to sign enrolled act number 46 being original House Bill number 1. I have so signed.
House Enrolled Act number 31, being original House Bill number 67, an act relating to taxation and revenue, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
I'm about to sign House Enrolled Act number 31, being original House Bill number 67. I have so signed.
House Enrolled Act number 32, being original House Bill number 90, an act relating to insurance, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act number 32, being original House Bill number 90. I have so signed.
House Enrolled Act No. 33, being original House Bill 102, an act relating to livestock, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
About to sign House Enrolled Act No. 33, being original House Bill 102. I have so signed.
House Enrolled Act No. 34, being original House Bill No. 23, an act relating to business entities, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
I'm about to sign House Enrolled Act No. 34, being original House Bill No. 23. I have so signed.
House Enrolled Act No. 35, being original House Bill 57, an act relating to underground public utilities, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
I'm about to sign House Enrolled Act No. 35, being original House Bill 57. I have so signed.
House Enrolled Act No. 36, being original House Bill No. 63, an act relating to ultraviolet tanning devices, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
I'm about to sign House Enrolled Act No. 36, being original House Bill No. 63. I have so signed.
House Enrolled Act No. 37, being original House Bill No. 29, an act relating to excise tax, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
I'm about to sign House Enrolled Act No. 37, being original House Bill No. 29. I have so signed.
House Enrolled Act No. 38, being original House Bill No. 20, an act relating to crimes and offenses, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
I'm about to sign House Enrolled Act No. 39, being original House Bill 20. Excuse me. House Enrolled Act No. 38, being original House Bill No. 20. I have so signed.
House Enrolled Act No. 39, being original House Bill No. 19, an act relating to the Department of Corrections, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
I'm about to sign House Enrolled Act No. 39, being original House Bill No. 19. I have so signed.
House Enrolled Act No. 40, being original House Bill No. 34, an act relating to municipal elections, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
I'm about to sign House Enrolled Act No. 40, being original House Bill 34. I have so signed.
House Enrolled Act No. 41, being original House Bill No. 59, an act relating to workforce services, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
I'm about to sign House Enrolled Act No. 41, being original House Bill No. 59. I have so signed.
House Enrolled Act No. 42, being original House Bill 75, an act relating to termination of parental rights, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
I'm about to sign House Enrolled Act No. 42, being original House Bill 75. I have so signed.
House Enrolled Act No. 43, being original House Bill 77, an act relating to game and fish, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
I'm about to sign House Enrolled Act No. 43, being original House Bill No. 77. I have so signed.
House Enrolled Act No. 44, being original House Bill 80, an act relating to certification and hiring of peace officers, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
I'm about to sign House Enrolled Act No. 44, being original House Bill No. 80. I have so signed.
House Enrolled Act No. 45, being original House Bill 132, an act relating to homicide, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
I'm about to sign House Enrolled Act No. 45, being original House Bill 132. I have so signed.
House Enrolled Act Joint Resolution No. 2, being original House Joint Resolution No. 2, a joint resolution demanding Congress cease and desist from enacting mandates that are beyond the scope of the enumerated powers granted to Congress by the Constitution of the United States, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
I'm about to sign House Joint Resolution, Enrolled Joint Resolution No. 2, being original House Joint Resolution No. 2. I have so signed. Are there any announcements? Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to remind everybody that we're going to have the last of this session's legislative prayer breakfast tomorrow morning at 6:30 at the Egg and I, and Milan Norg, I can't pronounce it very well, Guru will be the presenter, and he was the young man that spoke to us last Monday. So I urge your attendance if you can make it.
Chairman Berger.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your Select Committee on Legislative Technology and Process will meet tomorrow morning, March 4th, at 8 a.m. in room 204. Thank you.
Chairman Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, your Select Water Committee stand at ease for a little while. The Senate's not through yet, and we may be postpone the thing if they're got there a long ways yet. I'm not sure, so... be alert, Select Water Committee member.
Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. For the second time, also I wanted to thank those who've been sending the checks to us on the Komen Race for the Cure. If you've lost the forms, I'd be glad to deliver some to you now. We've only got two more days to collect.
Representative Brown.
Conference Committee on Senate File 18 will meet at 9 a.m. in the Senate Corporations Room.
Any other announcements? Mr. Majority Floor Leader, that clears the desk.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move that the House adjourn until Thursday, March 4, 2010 at 10 a.m.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. House is adjourned until Thursday morning, March 4th, 10 a.m.